Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!
Go to hell and take your friends with you!
Carpet Day!
Huh?
No!
Get off my plane.
Hello and welcome to Movies to Drink To. My name is Finn.
I'm Mr. Smith.
And welcome.
I'm Mr. Smith and this is my chair.
And welcome to another episode, another Friday the 13th movie. We're continuing our look at the Friday the 13th franchise. We're on to part three.
Yes.
Which is in 3D. Woo!
And they milk that.
Before we go on, please don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to this or watching this. And share. It helps. People are like, hey, are you making any money off that podcast yet? No. Why not? Because you don't share it.
Yeah, we could be being viewed by billions.
No one's being viewed by billions. So anyway, now digress. Friday the 13th, part three, from 1982, just a year after the last one.
Yeah.
Which was just a year after the last one.
Yeah, and this takes place like minutes after the first one, apparently.
Yeah, they churn these fucking things out. Mm. Directed by Steve Miner, who also directed part two.
He did, yes.
He stayed on. He came back. It stars Richard Brooker as Jason Voorhees and other people. I just couldn't be bothered to write them
Nobody
down.
Nobody that really went on to do anything.
No, because if
of
you
note,
look at all of their IMDb pages,
it's
known
all,
for...
It stills from this film.
It's from this film.
Yeah.
The plot of this, Beath.
Jason Voorhees stalks a group of friends who's just arrived to spend the weekend at a cabin near Crystal Lake. I mean, that's all of the films.
So far.
I mean, the one underneath us say Jason Voorhees, having barely survived a wound to his shoulder from his own
my shoulder! My Achilles shoulder!
is back to exact revenge on all that visit his woods, which is better.
Yes. But still.
No. I mean, still, yeah. It's all of those films.
But yeah, Jason's back. I'm back, baby. I just wanted to do this episode before I forgot how to do the voice.
The New Jersey.
New Jersey!
New Jersey baghead. But it doesn't have a bag this time.
I stole my bag! I was the New Jersey baghead, and they stole my bag. I gotta come up with a whole new gimmick, which we'll get to.
Yeah, this film is all about him just trying to find his own identity.
Yeah, a new gimmick for the so he could get better headlines as a serial killer. I'm nothing without a gimmick. You gotta have a gimmick. Anyway, our film begins with the end of the last movie.
Yeah.
Kind of like the last one did.
Yeah, this is like all of these films, the last two films have just been like, it's like they made them too short. And they was like, this is only like an hour and 10 minutes long. We're going to have to put 20 minutes of the last film.
Yeah, this movie is only an hour and 35 minutes long.
Yeah.
And the first, I'd say just over 5 minutes.
But then, I mean, if you read the script, there's a reason. I mean, there's not very much thought gone into this film, I've got to be honest.
No. But maybe they're like, you know, that ending was so good, let's show it again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
that weird ending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they even do the bit where it goes up to Pamela Voorhees' head. Yeah. And I was like, are they going to show it opening its eyes?
Yeah, they're going to show the uncut. No, yeah, still
freeze at, like, at that point. There is a little added bit, which is Jason, like, they shuffling along the ground that I don't remember from the last film.
Yes, to imply that he is not dead.
Yeah. But then we knew that because he jumped through the window just after that bit anyway. Yeah.
Then the title cards come up and some actually pretty cool music.
Yeah, it's funky. Really funky. Yeah. The other thing I noticed is part of the production company of this is Jason Incorporated. He has his own production company now.
Well, you gotta. Never not hustling.
Yeah. He's not having anybody else make money out of his name. No. He owns it now.
Yeah. He's branded himself.
Yeah. He's got an agent. He's going places. Who knows? There could be many more films after this.
That's what I'm planning on. So anyway, the titles come up and then the camera pans over to the Crystal Lake gift shop.
Yeah, or bar or restaurant or shop or something.
It's like a convenience store.
It looks
thing.
At one point they pan across, it looks like there's a little bar in there, but then you don't see that anymore.
No.
You just see it's like some sort of convenience store with a guy that eats all the stuff.
Yeah, so you've got, there's a woman there with her curl ringlet things in her dressing gown. And she's shouting at Harold.
Yep.
Not sure really what about.
No, her name is Edna.
Oh, it's Edna. That's it.
Her name
right.
is Edna. And Harold is the husband. And like, yeah, Harold's out the back.
Fighting about with a washing line.
Yeah, fighting about just so he can pick up a stick and wobble it in front of the camera for the
3D.
But yeah, and Edna is watching the news, and the newscaster that is telling the story of the last film is Steve Miner, the director.
Yes, so the news report, the director is, again, catching the audience up with what happened in the previous film. On the news, they're talking about the killings from the last movie. Ginny is alive.
Apparently.
We did know she was alive.
Yeah, yes, it's some sort of ambiguous ending.
Yes. Then there's a noise outside, and we see, I assume, Jason lurking amongst the laundry.
Yeah.
Maskless.
Yes. And Edna thinks this is Harold, even though Jason is about 3 foot taller than Harold. Her eyesight's fucking terrible.
I mean, it's your husband. How do you not know what he looks like?
And also, Harold has, jet black hair and quite a bit of it and a beard and stuff. And Jason is famously smooth.
Yes. In this film.
Oh, in this film. In the last film, he had half a beard.
Yeah, and half a long hair.
Well, he's had a shave since.
Yeah.
Like in the minutes between films.
Yeah. I'm also a lot bigger now. I've been working out. I'm shaving my head. I don't masturbate. I'm red pilled. You heard this guy, Andrew Tate. I've really taken a shine to him.
Watching all of his videos.
Yeah. And he's innocent. Where's the evidence? So yeah, Jason is now an incel.
Yep.
Well, he was famous.
He's always been kind of an incel.
Yeah, but now he's working out 6 times a day, shaving his fucking head.
Yeah.
He hates sex.
Yeah.
It's Aidan Ross. Yeah. Anyway, back inside, Harrow is feeding the fish. And he's eating the fish food.
Yeah.
Himself. He also has a rabbit there. And he sees the rabbit and he's like, if she catches you in here, she'll make you into a fur coat. It's a rabbit. A
fucking small fur coat. Yeah.
A pair of underwear at best.
Make you into one glove.
And we get our first POV footage. But it's not Jason. It's his horrible wife.
Oh, yeah.
Sneaking up on him. So Harold heads outside with the rabbit into a shed of some kind. And he finds his other rabbits have been killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so Jason is now just wandering around murdering pets.
Yeah.
But it's not Jason.
No, it's a snake.
It's a plastic
snake. It's a snack. A snack. Beautiful snack. Was it John Voight?
Snack.
A beautiful snack. I love a small snack. And, the snack, it jumps out at him. And the camera in 3D.
Yeah, it's clearly on a wire. I mean, you can see where the wire's being pulled.
In all of the 3D things, you can see the wires.
Every single time.
Yeah. I mean, 80s 3D, it didn't get better.
It's laughable. This whole film was just based around, we're going to do it in 3D. So what's the plot? Doesn't matter. Just make things jump out. Yeah.
Then Harold goes and takes a shit, which we get to listen to.
Yeah.
It's literally a shot of him on the toilet Oh, enchiladas.
Yeah, it's horrendous noises from him.
He's got IBS or something.
And then
God! Oh!
the snake scared him so much he ran into shit.
Yeah, basically.
And then he hears something and he just gets up, doesn't flush, doesn't wipe, doesn't do anything. And after these horrendous noises coming from his ring piece, and he just does his fucking trousers up. Awful. Yeah,
he goes in that, he looks around for ages.
Yeah.
And eventually he gets a meat cleaver to the chest.
Yeah.
Yes. His horrid wife, Edna, she hears this and she goes to investigate and she finds a rat.
Yeah.
And then she gets a knitting needle through the back of the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all that takes over 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's they're kind of nothing kills. It's just that happened.
Yeah. Sometime later, during the day, some kids are playing baseball in the street, which seems stupid.
Yes.
Because there's windows everywhere. Yeah. Why you play it on a baseball diamond?
Yeah, it doesn't see. Yeah.
Also, they're stood 5 feet from each other. This whole shot is just to have a baseball bat pointing at the camera in 3D. That's the only reason it's there. It's so stupid. And then a van with some sexy teens passes by.
Yep.
These are our victims for the film. Now in the van, you've got Shelley, who's in the back of the van, which you don't see yet.
No.
You've got Andy, who is the boyfriend of Debbie, and you've got Chris, who's a girl. Oh, and Shelley's a guy.
Yes.
Remember that. Chris, girl, Shelley, guy.
Oh, and Chili.
Chili?
Chili's the other girl.
They we'll get out that.
The thing, and Andy and Debbie can't leave each other alone, apparently. They like literally take two steps forward and they're like... Bah,
bah, bah, stare, kiss each other. Chris mentions that what happened to her at the lake happened a long time ago, and she's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't say what it is.
A long time ago. The time, as long as the time between now and then seems to vary quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like she's like, oh, it was such a long time ago. It really doesn't matter. Turns out it was like months ago.
Yeah.
Apparently, like. But yeah, we don't know what it was at this stage.
No, we don't. And while she's saying this, Shelley gets out the back of the van and he walks up behind them in a mask and he stabs Andy with a fake knife.
Yeah.
Aha! We have our comic relief for the movie. Every Friday the 13th,
Shelley the jester,
a jokester, a prankster.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it's Shelley.
The thing with Shelley is, like, as much as like he's supposed to be the comic relief, he's a very sad. It's kind of like you just feel sorry for him through this whole film.
Well, it's kind of like the guy in the first one as well. Just watching the couple from afar alone.
Yeah.
And then that one shot
disappears. Like, you never. The last time we see him is in the bar, isn't it?
No, that's the second film.
Oh, right. Okay.
First film.
Who's the first film? Oh, I forget. It doesn't matter.
In the first one, it's the guy that dressed up like a Native American.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do remember. Yeah. I do remember,
in the second film, it was the guy from Ratatouille.
That's it, yeah.
Who went to the bar and was never seen again.
And then, yeah, went to
he went off
with
those old men. Yeah, he moved to Paris. Anyway, Andy has set up a date for Shelley. Shelley, by the way, is fat and ugly, which is a real point made throughout this film.
It is a plot point, He's constantly going, well, nobody will love me. Look at the state of me and stuff. So, yeah, it's not mean to point it out.
You could at least get a haircut, Shelley.
Yeah, it's the character. When they were casting this, there was like you've got the part of the sad virgin, fat virgin with terrible hair.
Yeah. And a fuck ugly face.
Well done, you.
You're hired. Yeah. Score, I think. Can I not just be the guy in the mask? Nope.
Nope.
And they pick up Vera,
who
is Shelley's date.
Yeah.
Then they notice that the van is on fire. There's smoke coming out of the van. So they go running over, but it's just two hippies. One of which looks like Marc Maron in the back smoking bongs.
I thought it was was it Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong at first. I was like, is it fucking Tommy? And it isn't Tommy Chong. It just looks a bit like him. And this is Chili and
Chuck.
That's it. Yeah.
But also, I mean, they run over to the van and they're just in the back smoking a bong.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, and it's like, but we haven't seen these hippie characters before.
No.
So, do they know them? It kind of...
Did they just climb in?
Yeah, as if they just got in the back of their... So it's like, hey man, there's a van over there! Let's get high! Like, is that... It seems like that's what happened.
But nobody else seems to know that, because then not at any point do they go, oh, it's probably just them two with the bong. They're just like, oh, the van's on fire. And then they're like, oh no, we've got two hippies.
We've picked up a couple of hippies. Yeah. Okay. So they all drive off to Camp Crystal Lake. The stoners are annoying.
Yep.
In the whole scene, one of them's like, Shelley's like, you know, are you just going to smoke weed all weekend? And Marc Maron says, is there a law against it, man? Like, yes.
Yes.
There is. But no one says that.
No, they're it's fucking weird. And then the police turn up behind them.
Well, hang on, just before that, sorry. Debbie mentions that she's pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Which seems like an important plot point.
It's never mentioned again.
Well, it's mentioned again.
Is it?
It is. There's another point sort of later on where she goes, I'm pregnant, don't remember. And they're like, oh yeah. I don't know why it was written in.
No. Like, she doesn't look pregnant. She's not like heavily pregnant.
No, she doesn't act pregnant.
No.
I mean, there are very... Well,
it's just mentioned a couple of times that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Also, Shelley has a box with him.
Oh yeah, the mystery box.
He claims contains his whole world.
Yeah.
And you start, I was like... Comic books.
Yeah, you think it's, again, this is a plot
it's
point.
A pet
it's got to be
ferret or something.
It's something important that will become obvious later on, and you'll be like,
foreshadowing.
No.
It's never mentioned again.
No. Basically, it's just got all these stupid fucking makeup stuff in it.
Is it?
Yeah, because he does, like, well, you find out in a bit, like, he does a, like, horror makeup or whatever. Yeah. It's just that. That's what I assume.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I forgot all about it until I just read that.
Possessive. Because, Vera goes to look at it and he's like, oh no, this is mine. Get away from my box. And you're like, oh, nothing. It's not important.
No, at all.
Not even slightly.
It's also worth mentioning that the three young women, Chris, Debbie, and Vera, all look really similar.
Yes.
Like, same haircuts.
Yeah.
It's point where at the beginning of the film it was a bit like, ooh, this is going to be difficult to remember who's who and write notes on, because yeah, they all look really fucking similar.
Luckily, they're all kind of paired off, so you can tell them apart.
Yeah, basically. They don't share many scenes together. That's basically the only way you can tell.
Which is probably, Steve Miner at one point must have had a scene with them all together and went, oh no. Can't do
this. I made a huge mistake. Yeah. I shouldn't have just cast the type of woman I'm attracted to. I have a type, I cast them all. Which, you know, to be fair, a lot of directors do.
Yes.
Look at Damien Leone.
Especially in the 80s.
Yeah. Anyway, the police appear behind them. Sirens are blaring. So everyone starts freaking out, man, because they've got a load of weed on them.
Yeah.
So Andy and Chuck, or Mark Maron, whatever you want to call him, and the hippie lady, whose name is Chili.
Chili.
They then decide to eat all of the weed.
Yeah, and this is the second time, because it goes to, it turns around to Debbie. He's like, quick, like, eat some. She's like, I'm pregnant. Don't you remember? Don't forget. Well, okay. That's a bit, I mean, just after she tells Andy she's pregnant as well, Andy then takes the joint off of, like, Chuck, like, right next to her. He's like, none for you.
Yeah, they eat all the weed, and it's a lot of weed.
Yeah, and they're shoving it, like, down their necks.
Like Dolly mixtures.
You're like, oh, this is going to have like a comedy aftermath and stuff, but it isn't. The police just drive past and then it's never mentioned again. Not at any point do they play off the fact that they just ate a load of weed.
Like a lot of weed.
Just like a missed opportunity.
Like more than you would ever smoke in like an evening.
You could have had that scene from Super Troopers way before Super Troopers ever did it, but no.
But yeah, the police just drive right past them because they're onto the way. They're on their way to the murder.
Oh, yeah, to Edna and
Harold's murder. Yeah. So the van carries on driving. They then have to stop the van because there's a drunk redneck in the middle of the road just lying down having a nap. He's some kind of religious nut.
Yes. He's a Doomsayer Ralph's
replacement.
Yeah, replacement. He's a relative. Doomsayer Jeff.
There's like the Doomsayer like company was like, we've had an incident down in New Jersey. We need you to go and take Ralph's place.
Yeah. We haven't heard from Ralph. We don't know where he is. Yeah. No, we just haven't heard from him.
Yeah, can you go and find your predecessor?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's kind of some religious nut, and he says, he doesn't say doomed, though.
No, unfortunately. He says, like, he goes, like, everything, he says everything but.
Yeah, basically.
But then he says, like, he's trying to say, like, oh, I found this, and he pulls out what's supposed to be an eyeball.
Yes, it looks like a burnt up marshmallow.
Yeah, I'm assuming it probably is like a cow eye or something, because it just, like, but yeah, he just dangles it in front of the camera.
In 3D!
In 3D. And says something about, oh, like, he goes, yeah, I found this. There was other bits of him. But I just took this.
Yeah. Because I was drunk.
Yeah.
And you're all in danger. Yeah. I'm not licensed to say that word. Because I'm not a sayer.
It's Ralph's word.
Yeah. So. I'm not in the union.
No.
I'm just his agency replacement.
Because you're all in jeopardy.
All in jeopardy! So anyway, they arrive at a place called Higgins Haven. So it's not Crystal Camp.
Yeah, they just literally renamed it, like, between the last murders now. They're like, oh, Crystal Lake's got a terrible PR now.
But in the last movie, it wasn't at Camp Crystal Lake either.
Well, it was next door, wasn't
it? Yeah, so is this next door again?
Or did they just keep moving it down one?
They're just going around the lake. And by the fifth film we'll end up back. I don't know.
It's just Crystal is just all around the fucking lake.
So once they arrive, everyone runs off, apart from Chris, who heads into the house and is immediately grabbed by the neck by a guy who starts kissing her.
Yeah.
This is Rick. Rick is looking to bang Chris.
Yeah.
He's also about 45 years old.
Yeah, he does see it. He's supposed to be playing a teen, I'm guessing, but he's definitely the oldest person there.
By a couple of decades.
He's older than Jason.
Rick is a guy that she had a thing with last year.
Yeah, or whenever she was there last.
Yeah, not sure.
In the months, days, years.
He also comments that she's put on weight.
Yeah!
He's such a piece.
She jumps on his back. And he's like,
well, you're a fucking heifer now, aren't you?
Yeah, you was a lot lighter the last month, year.
Yeah. How am I supposed to pile drive you now?
You're going to have to go on top.
Yeah.
Or not, I don't know.
Death by schnoo-schnoo, is it? He's such an asshole.
He's one of those, he looks like that, so he's got like a proper square head.
He's all just, and like a sort of Johnny Unitas haircut. And he's just gaslighting and just being a prick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The entire time.
Like he's one of those, oh, you tease.
Yeah.
Like, you come all this way and you won't bang me. And she's like, I'm not really, I don't want to.
I came here with my friends.
Yeah. Fucking.
No,
virgin.
You definitely came here just to fuck me, right? Later on, Rick is helping Chris lift hay. They've got a barn and it's got a pulley system where you lift up the hay into the top of the barn, even though they don't have a horse there. Which they mention. And then Rick mentions that he gave up a weekend with another girl called Mary just to be there.
Yeah.
As in the way he says, it's just like, you know, I gave up a weekend with Mary to see you.
Yeah. I gave up definite clunge.
Yeah. Mary's a slut. Yeah. Mary gives rim jobs.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm saying is by the end of this weekend, Chris, my pubes better be tickling your nostrils. We know that's why you're here, right? And he's doing all this with his shirt off whilst lifting stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like...
He's like, I could have been somewhere else wearing Mary like a horse's feed bag.
Yeah.
But instead, here I am.
Lifting hay.
Lifting hay. Trying to impress you for no reason, you heifer.
I know you haven't got a horse. I guess the hay's for you, is it, you fat bitch? Yeah, he's awful.
Yeah, he's a terrible, terrible person.
You are just like, I can't wait for him to die.
Oh, yeah, they've given out the rooms as well. And pregnant Debbie is given the room with the hammock in it.
Yes.
So Andy and she's so pregnant Debbie have to sleep in this fucking hammock.
Even though she's
weird.
Not even got like so much as a bump.
Yeah.
She's totally flat stomach.
She's not even pregnant. She's just trying to trap Andy.
Yeah, probably.
She's like, I'm definitely pregnant, so you can't leave.
What's going to happen in 9 months when she doesn't give birth?
Yeah. I mean, how pregnant are you? She's like, at least 7 months.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I'm a bit late.
Yeah.
And not fat. Then there's some screaming and they run off to the house to investigate and Shelley is dead in a closet with an axe through his head.
Yeah. And but, you think, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like that poor man's life was hard enough.
Someone put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
But he ain't dead.
No.
Because it's a prank.
It's a prank.
He's joking.
Like this is what he's pulled out of his box.
Yeah. Allegedly. And everyone fucking hates him for it.
Yeah, everyone's well annoyed, especially Chrissy, who hasn't told anybody anything, like, really. Like, he doesn't know. Shelley doesn't know there was some traumatic event that we still don't know about. So she's like, everyone's like, fucking hell, Shelley, how could you? And he's like, what? Genuinely?
Yeah.
What's happened? Why can't I do this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously.
I mean, obviously, yeah. Yeah. You're a dick. Yeah. But yeah, he has no idea that he's like triggering her in any way.
No. So then Vera and Shelley then drive off to a shop. And over at the shop, Shelley and Vera are roughed up by some 80s tough biker gang type.
A multi-ethnic biker gang.
Yeah, you've got like a black dude, a white dude, and is it another black woman?
Black girl, yeah.
Black, yeah. They sort of mug them, but don't.
Yeah, it's such a weird non-mugging.
Yeah.
Like, Shelley gives Vera his wallet.
Yeah.
And she drops it. And then Fox is the girl. She picks it up. And they're like, oh, can I have it, please? And they're like, ask nicely. Like, can I have it, please? And they're like, right, there you go. That wasn't so hard, was it? Well, the two guys are lifting Shelley up for no reason.
Yeah.
And then they just give the wallet back. And they just buy the beer and they leave.
Yeah.
Like,
Just establishing that we're pretty tough around here. We're the tough guys around this lake.
Yeah. And Shelley's like proper done in about it, like something actually happened.
Yeah, which it didn't. They just got kind of embarrassed a bit.
Yeah.
Made to feel small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, when they leave, Shelley reverses his car into their motorbikes.
Which has never been done in any film ever before.
Shelley.
If there's ever a biker gang, they never get their bikes backed into.
And he goes to drive away, but one of the bikers, Ali, he stops the car by standing in front of it with a chain in his hand.
Yeah. Which he then, he smashes the with the chain and then he wraps it round his hand. Like, Shelley does not drive off at this point. He has plenty of time. Like, Ali literally uses it to smash the window, then wraps it round his hand and then punches through the 'cause 3D, punches through the driver's side window. And then, Shelley starts driving away. But then he has a moment. He's like, I've got to prove to Vera I'm a man and I have a penis.
Yeah.
So he turns around and drives over a wheel.
Is there motorbikes? Yeah, he drives over the wheel of one of their bikes, but on purpose this time.
Yeah, yeah, because he's hard now.
Yeah. Ha ha ha! In his little fucking Ted Bundy car.
Yeah, this is his coming of age.
Back at not Camp Crystal Lake, We get some more 3D action, this time in the form of a yo-yo.
This is hilarious. I had to pause this. I was laughing so much because, like, obviously the shot is for Debbie's sort of looking up and Andy's like going, whoa, whoa, with the yo-yo. And he bats her in the face with it. Like, it hits her full in the face and she goes, that was close. Debbie's an idiot. You see it bounce off her face and she's like, oh, that was close.
But yeah, then you've got like the, I guess, Debbie's point of view shot of the yo-yo going up and down.
Yeah.
And this is in 3D and you're like, it goes on for ages. Life of Pi, this ain't. It's just like, oh, wow, this is so worth it.
This is the predecessor of Avatar.
Shelley comes back to the camp with the car all smashed up now. It turns out the car is Rick's, lol.
Yeah, which is hilarious. And they also don't tell, they tell everyone but Rick what happened to it as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we had some biker gang. And then Rick comes out and goes, what happened to my car? And, he goes, oh, it'll be all right. And gives him the keys back and walks off.
And Rick is annoyed, so he decides he's going to leave.
Yeah.
But Chris stops him because she wants him to stay. Why?
Yeah.
He's a bell end.
Can't figure it out.
They're also being watched from a distance.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder by who? Who could it be? We don't find out yet.
No.
Then Debbie and Andy decide to go for a swim, and Debbie heads over to the van to grab some towels, and someone appears. You see their feet.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, and it's revealed to be the bikers from earlier.
Yes.
And they steal fuel from their van.
Yeah, this is Loco.
Yeah.
Loco with the cigarette permanently in his mouth. Yeah, they're going to siphon the fuel out and then burn down the barn?
I thought they said forest.
Oh, I don't know. Why would they burn down the whole forest?
Because
that's ambitious.
Fucking mental. That's fucking crazy bikers.
His name's Loco.
Yeah. I'm fucking Loco. Yeah. It's the 80s, man.
Loco, Fox, and Ally.
Yeah. The lady biker, Fox, she decides to head over and investigate the barn for no fucking reason
whatsoever.
No reason
at all. Yeah.
Just walks over. Oh, I think I'm just going to walk over here and go in that barn.
What she doesn't know is this is Jason's kill barn.
Yes. In the barn, she falls over for no reason.
Yeah, literally gets the vapors.
Yeah, nearly takes a pitchfork to the face. Meanwhile, the other bikers, they have filled up one of the cans. I think the plan is they say set fire to the forest, but
right,
it's not. Really,
I just assumed that was going to.
It's not important because it goes nowhere. As one of them, Loco, he heads past the barn. Fox is swinging on the pulley from the top of the barn, as we saw
having
earlier.
The time of her life.
Yep. And then she suddenly swings back in, and disappears.
Yeah, she's gone.
So Loco,
like magic.
He has to head into the barn to investigate.
Which he's not happy about.
No.
He's annoyed that he's had to go into the barn,
yeah.
It seems. And he's like, Fox, where are you? He goes, oh, woman, you're going to get it.
Don't make me even more, Loco.
Oh, pow, straight to the moon.
Yeah, and he has got a cigarette in his mouth the entire time, which he's never lit.
No, not once. Which is probably for the best, seeing as he was carrying lots of petrol around. Yeah.
Inside, Fox has been pinned... Fox has been pinned.
Upset. They go up the ladder.
Yeah.
But yeah, now Loco climbs up the thing and there she's just dangling.
She's been pinned to a beam through the neck with a pitchfork. And we get a lovely 3D shot of the handle.
The handle, yeah.
Ooh, the handle of the pitchfork.
This is cutting edge 3D work.
And then Loco is pitchforked through the stomach.
Yeah.
By an unseen killer. What would it be?
He is a bit camera shy at this point, for the moment.
The third biker, Ali, he's now outside the barn, wondering where the hell the others are. And he goes in and he gets a hammer to the face.
Oh, yeah.
He does put up a little bit of a fight, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
But he gets hammered to the face.
Yes, and that's, he's clearly dead.
Yes.
Obviously.
Isn't he hammered a few times?
I thought so, yeah.
Later that night, Chris and Rick are somewhere else?
Yeah, oh, they went off, didn't
they're
they?
They're just like... down the road a bit
in another
part of the forest. And Rick mentions that he lives there.
Yeah.
Here, by this tree.
With Jason.
I'm Rick Voorhees.
Yeah. But yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, because he goes, oh, I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. I thought, I could.
Yeah.
A place without a killer.
Place that has, oh, I don't know, a toilet.
Yeah. But yeah, it does seem weird that like... apparently Jason and Rick have got some unspoken agreement. Like, just we don't bother each other.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
But he generally just acts like a dick, asks questions like, why are you here?
Yeah.
When are we going to bang? Remember, I could go see Mary. It's still not too late.
We are 45 minutes into this film and I still have not got my dick wet.
Yeah.
But
what's going on? My noodle will be dry. Back over at the house, Andy and Shelley are having a juggling competition, which is a thing, apparently.
Yeah.
And Debbie distracts Andy by suggesting that they bang. So Shelley wins. Hurrah!
It's
finally!
Good. He finally gets a win, and it's finally. Juggling.
Yeah. Everything's coming up, Shelley.
And he this is where he takes his, shoots his shot with Vera.
Yeah, we get a nice shot of Vera's ass.
Yeah, and he's like stopping checking it out. Not even like subtly. He's just like,
yeah. So Shelley shoots his shot.
And he's like, he's high on the juggling win.
Yeah.
So he's like, now's the time. So he's like, me and you, Vera.
Yep.
What do you hate? And she's like, oh no.
Yeah. He is rejected because he's fat and ugly.
Yeah.
No, it's because he's a bell end.
Yeah,
he is. It's actually nothing to do with his looks. He's
and
just
he goes
arsehole.
Full incel as well because she's like, full incel? Full incel. Because like, she's like, oh, I'm just going to go outside. And he's like, bitch.
Yeah, the line
is lesbian.
Vera says to him, I'm going to go outside for a few minutes. And then when I get back, we'll talk. And this fucking cracked me up. So she walks outside and just stands there on the porch.
Yep.
And Shelley just watches her standing there doing nothing through the window, and they can see each other.
Yeah.
And she turns around like and sees him and then kind of like blanks him and turns back around. They're just so weird.
This is not helping your case. No. Shelley.
You're just watching her. She's like, is he still looking?
Yeah. Probably gonna go into the woods. It's probably safer.
So yeah, she walks off.
Yeah.
And then a figure appears at the window.
Oh, yeah, and we get this whole weird shot because, like, Shelley goes back and he's, like, poking the fire. And then we get this shot where he just turns the camera and then it just cuts away. So you immediately just think, oh, well, dead then.
Editing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Over in their room, Debbie and Andy are trying to figure out how to bang in a hammock.
Yeah.
End of scene.
Yeah, that's it.
That's an entire scene.
They manage.
Yeah. Like, how are we going to do this? Well, we'll figure it out, like, cut.
Yeah.
All right.
Important plot point.
Back over at some other place, Chris tells Rick about the thing that happened to her.
We finally get Chrissy's backstory.
At the lake. It turns out her parents told her off. So she ran off into the woods and she saw Jason, who attacked her. And then she blacked out, but still managed to escape and somehow woke up in her own bed.
Yeah. It's like literally the writers had no idea what to do with this, like at all. So yeah, Jason attacks her. She somehow kicks the knife out of his hand and then he grabs her and drags her along and she says she blacked out. So then what, Jason was like, oh, she's not struggling anymore. Boring.
Yeah.
Like, and just left her there. And then she wakes up in her own bed and her parents pretended nothing happened.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Her parents are psychos.
It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
None at all.
Yeah, I blacked out and escaped.
It's just so lazy. It's like literally they're writing it and they're like, well, we've got to make this more interesting. Like, does it involve 3D? It doesn't really. Well, fuck it. Doesn't matter then.
It kind of sounds like she's making it up.
Yeah, it does a little bit. It
kind of sounds like it's an attention thing. She is making it up. I never seen this bitch before. She's lying. She's lying. I never let anyone get away.
Yeah, it doesn't. Why would Jason just be like, oh,
yeah,
all right, I'm done here.
You're an attention-seeking whore. Yeah, it really just sounds made up. Yeah. More made up than it is.
It could have been an interesting backstory. There could have been something like some sort of link between them or something. Maybe Jason, like a rare bit of humanity in Jason. He was like, maybe I love her a bit. Like, but no, there's nothing.
No.
Nothing at all.
No.
I blacked out. It was all a dream. This was written by a fucking 5-year-old.
Then the lights on Rick's car die because the whole time they've been sat there talking, they've had the headlights pointed on them.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, it's the damn battery.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah. Oh, that will happen if you just leave headlights on.
It's a shame you don't have the guy from the last film because he would have just opened looked the back and looked at it and the car would have worked.
So now the car doesn't start, so they got to walk back.
Yeah.
Back at the house, the Stoners are stoned.
Yep, of course, because that's their whole personality.
Yep. Mark Maron heads to the outhouse and he gets spooked by the film's music.
Yeah.
Which happens, has happened more than once so far in this franchise. Someone just hears the score and goes, what was that?
But Jason's a bit of a jester as well, because he just rattles the toilet, the outhouse while he's in there, and he's like, and the Stoner thinks it's the weed.
Yeah, he goes to take a shit, and he sparks up a joint, obviously, and Jason gives the fucking outhouse a shake,
and then scurries away. Yeah.
And he thinks it's the weed. It's like, well, man, this shit's radical.
And then he goes outside, and he sees Jason walking into the kill barn, and he's just like, oh, you. Jason's like,
yeah. He thinks it's Shelley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this whole thing looks like Jason went ran away into the shed.
I don't want a real screw with these drug heads. They got your pothead. So he thinks it's Shelley that's run off into the barn. So where we get to the stoner goes into the barn looking for him, and the lady stoner then jump scares him, and the two of them head to the barn because they decide they're gonna scare Shelley. Or what they think is Shelley.
Yeah,
so they go into the barn. They don't find Shelley.
They don't do anything.
Or anyone.
Kind of a nothing.
Yeah. Nothing so happens. They spark up a joint and walk off.
Yeah.
That's the end of the scene.
Nothing happens. No, literally. This is another case of this film's too short. Just add a bit with the stoners going into the barn. So what happens to them? Oh,
they
nothing.
Get stoned.
They just spark up a joint.
Well, man, drugs a barn. Are funny.
Drugs are really edgy and stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Maybe we could smoke the hay. And then ride some unicorns. Yeah, it's so dumb. Over at the water, Vera is sat on the edge on like a pontoon, just sitting there, doing nothing. Anything
minding
to be,
her own fucking business.
Anything to be away from Shelley. When suddenly, a hand pops up out of the water and grabs a foot.
Yeah, I know. And we're like, because Jason has a big thing with water, like he was in the water at the very beginning. Yep, it's got to be Jason. It isn't.
It's Shelley.
It's Shelley.
In a swimsuit and a hockey
and
mask.
A hockey mask.
With a harpoon.
Yeah.
That was in his box.
It is. I mean, what was his original plan here? Like, he's going to actually kill her. He's going to harpoon her. If I can't have her, no one can. He's going to harpoon Vera to death. But instead, like, and then she's quite rightly annoyed, and he's like, all fucking hurt again.
Well, yeah, she's understandably pissed off. And she's saying, like, why do you do these things? Like, you're a nice guy, except for when you act like you do all this stupid shit. You act like a jerk. And he says, being a jerk is better than being a nothing.
It isn't.
No, 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 no. Also, he's all sad and upset.
And he's like, basically, like, the most unbelievable, far-fetched point of this film is Vera hinting that she might actually like him.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you don't like him. She's like, well, I never said that. He's like, oh, God, don't do that. No one's going to believe that, Vera.
So, yeah, Shelley is now upset. And then, for no reason at all, he heads over to the barn.
Yeah. And the way he looks through the window, there's nothing that prompts him at all. No. He just goes over to the barn, looks through the window, and he goes, oh, Chuck, Chili. And he thinks they're banging. He goes, are you doing something I shouldn't see? So he walks in there like a weird perv. He doesn't do anything to make himself likable whatsoever. He thinks, oh, Chili and Chuck are banging, so I'll probably go and have a look.
I mean, I couldn't get anything with Vera, so...
Yeah, so I'll just go and watch them.
Maybe these weird...
Maybe have a little tug.
Maybe these weird potheads will let me join in.
Yeah. But I'm going to carry my hockey mask and harpoon gun as well.
Meanwhile, back over at the lake, Vera drops Shelley's wallet into the water, which she still had from the shop earlier.
Yeah, and probably should, in all by rights, should have just been like, oh, well, fuck him.
Yeah, basically. As she's trying to fetch it out, Shelley appears, he comes back, carrying the harpoon in a hockey mask, but also wearing new clothes.
Also wearing new clothes and about 3 foot taller.
That's right, it's me! I'm back, baby! Jason's returned.
Yeah, he's not so camera shy now. Now he's got his fucking new gimmick.
I know, I got the new gimmick. I got a great new name. Are you ready for this new name? The New Jersey Ice Hockey Mask Guy. Rolls right off the tongue. It's going to be in all the headlines.
Ice Hockey
Ice Hockey Mask Guy.
Harpooner.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Jason. He's back.
It's Jason.
And he kills her. With the power of 3D.
Yeah, he harpoons her in the face. I do love that.
Straight through the eye.
Yeah, it's the
it's
best
a hell
kill.
Of a
it's
shot.
Best kill in the whole film.
Because it's from quite a distance.
Yeah.
And he's got...
And he's just like waving
at her. One hand, yeah. He shoots and the harpoon.
He's not even a steady hand. Because he's like waving it about. And she's like, this isn't funny. And he's like, patoom, straight in the eye. I was like, brilliant. And like, yeah, the makeup's terrible. But
yeah,
this is by far the best kill in the whole film.
It's a heck of a shot. So Vera's dead.
Yes, thankfully.
Well, I say we have our first victim, but we have our first victim that we see Jason kill.
Yeah.
Over in the house, Debbie and Andy are banging in the hammock. They figured it out, guys.
Yeah, luckily. Yeah.
Thank God.
They're trying to get a second baby in there.
And then after
to
that...
make up for the one she's made up.
Debbie goes to take a shower as Jason approaches the house, and Andy walks around on his hands.
Oh, this is established. Yeah, this is established earlier on. He can walk around on his hands.
Yeah,
it's just after they get back from the swimming or something. He's walking on his hands for no reason.
Yeah,
but yeah, they do the whole like she's in the shower. There's like the shower curtain. You hear somebody coming in. She opens it up, and it's a pair of legs.
Because he spends so much time for some reason walking around on his hands.
He's just traversed. He's just wandered around the whole fucking house, and he's just like
come down the stairs and everything.
And then, like, they have a little conversation, and he goes, oh, do you want a beer? Like, of course she doesn't. She's fucking pregnant. But she goes, yeah, I do want a beer.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking, well, we've got another one in there now, so we can get rid of the first one.
Wash that one out with a few brewskis.
So he's like, all right, I'll go and get you a beer. Straight back on his hands.
Yeah. How is he going to carry the beer back? In his feet.
But he goes out of the bathroom and starts walking down the corridor, and he bumps into
Jason. Who machetes Andy down the middle.
He does.
He's upside through the balls.
Cleaves his nutsack in twain.
Yeah. It's quite a cool shot.
Yeah.
It's like, he almost like seems to collapse. Because the camera is on the floor underneath Andy. So he's just
I take it back. This is probably the best kill.
Debbie, now out of the shower, starts reading a copy of Fangoria in the hammock.
Yeah.
And then blood starts dripping on the magazine. And she says, where's this coming from?
Yeah.
Up, maybe?
This is after she's left the bathroom with the shower still running.
Yeah.
For some reason. But yeah, she's just got into the hammock. Yeah. And then, yeah, she's like, where's this coming from? Gravity would suggest.
Up. Yeah. It's not coming from the fucking kitchen sink, is it?
Yeah. And she looks up and Andy's all in bits, all arranged.
Yeah. He's like, both halves of Andy are just sort of on one of the rafters in the ceiling.
Yeah, I don't know how one of the beams managed to get him up there.
How's that balance?
Her knowing.
Yeah, but also how is these body parts balanced like that?
Yeah,
on
I know.
That one
it's incredible.
Beam. And then she gets Kevin Baconed.
Hmm. In a this is clearly a nod.
An homage to the first movie. She is held down and macheted through the back.
Yep.
I like Kevin Bacon with the arrow, but instead of the neck, it's like out of the chest.
Which for Jason is a 2-for-1. Apparently, because she's pregnant. So that's
yeah, but I didn't know that.
Two kills in one go.
I know, baby killer. I didn't know that.
Who was it? One of the guys that played Jason after this, like later on, one of the more famous ones. I can't remember his name.
Kane Hodder?
Kane Hodder. Suggested that Jason would never kill an animal because they're helpless and wouldn't kill a child. And then everybody was like, number three. And he's like, well, he didn't know she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to suggest he does, I guess. But
there's nothing
would that have stopped him?
There's nothing to suggest that she is pregnant.
No,
he's drinking beer and isn't like doesn't appear physically pregnant. Anyway.
And in a hot-boxed van.
Across the woods, Chris and Rick are making their way back. End of scene.
Yeah. Nothing important happens.
Nope. Kind of like most of this movie. And the stoners are making popcorn and... just
in the same house that all of this other stuff has just happened. So like Jason has managed to kill Andy and Debbie and not make enough noise for the stoners to realize anything.
Yeah, but
going
they're
on.
Stoned, man. I don't know what's going on, man.
But yeah, they're doing something in the kitchen. Are they cooking or something?
He's making popcorn. It's
that's
shooting
it.
Out
oh, yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, we get an hour and a half
it's
of popcorn.
He thinks it's really funny.
Yeah.
That popcorn's like popping.
Yeah.
Oh wow, man. Is that why they call it Popcorn Man?
All right, Shaggy. Fucking hell.
Then Mark Maron asks the lady. They hear a scream, don't they? But they think it's just them having sex.
Yeah.
Andy and Debbie having sex.
Oh, yeah. This is
and he
is
says, like,
the second disembodied scream of the film that nobody finds out where it's come from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just think it's Debbie and Andy having sex. And Mark Maron's like, how come you never scream when we have sex?
Oh, yeah.
But, Don't ask that.
Yeah, don't ask that question because you're probably not going to like the answer.
Yeah,
and it's pretty brutal. She's like, you don't give me anything to scream about.
Yeah,
he's like, ow.
Well, no, he's not even hurt because he's so stoned, man. Yeah. It's like, oh, good one. The stoners are so fucking boring.
Yeah. Just one note.
Yeah.
But yeah, then all the lights go out
as they do in all these
in
films.
Every film.
Yeah. And then Mark Maron goes to check the fuse box in the basement and he hears a noise and he gets spooked like everyone does in these fucking movies. Meanwhile, upstairs, Shelley appears at the door to where Chili is, the lady stoner, with his throat slit.
And she's like, Oh, Shelley, you big kidder.
Yeah, she just assumes it's him, you know, using makeup, and he's arsing about again. But now he dies for real.
Yeah, he dies for real. Like, you get, it's kind of a nothing death as well. Like, he just turns up, doesn't say, he's like, yeah. And then just dies.
So, yeah.
Downstairs.
That's the end of him.
Mark Maron finally gets the lights working, but Jason is behind him.
Yeah.
And he choke slams him into a fuse box.
Which electrocutes him.
Yes.
Because that's how fuse boxes work.
Definitely. I should know. I wired my whole Unabomber shack in the last movie, remember? He fucked it up. He done it wrong.
Yeah, Jason was down there previously going, this will get him, and just like turns all the lights off. But yeah, like if you ever have to go and check a fuse box or anything, make sure you don't like accidentally like hit it too hard, because it will just suddenly burst into sparks and you'll die. Yeah. That's the rules.
And then the lights start flickering upstairs, and Lady Stoner finally realizes that Shelley is actually dead.
Yeah.
And she starts screaming.
From his lack of movement, breathing, and existing.
She starts screaming. So she heads upstairs looking for Debbie. Whilst Jason comes from the basement up to the first floor, and he picks up a poker from the fireplace, a stoker thing.
This is as Chilly, as she manoeuvres around the house in distress, she's like, ah! She doesn't move like she's in distress. She's casually sauntering through, but she's like visibly upset. She's like, oh no, but doesn't like, literally does not move very fast at all.
No.
She walks up those stairs one at a time quite carefully, like, ah! Like, it's so weird.
She goes to leave the house, but she's scared of rain. Yeah. She opens up the door and it's raining, and it's like a thing. She goes, oh, and runs back inside.
She'd rather run back inside with the dead people than get a bit wet.
Yeah. And so when she runs back inside, she's immediately killed by Jason with the hot poker through the stomach.
Yeah.
I poked her!
Quite realistically, isn't hot on the other side of her.
No.
I did like that. A little bit of realism.
And then Jason carries her body off, no doubt to hang it somewhere fucking awkward.
Yeah, no. Why do you, such a weird thing, why, what's he doing with it?
But well, we know, because obviously these bodies always end up in really bizarre places.
Oh.
But we never see him put them there. Or really him carry the body, but it's like, we're finally seeing him actually carry a body off to...
Yeah. We're seeing the man at work behind the scenes. Yeah.
Then Chris and Rick return to the house, and everyone is missing. So they head out looking for him. Rick goes on his own, and then Chris is out on the porch calling for him, and he's just round the corner, being held by Jason with his hand over his mouth. So Chris heads back inside, and then Jason crushes Rick's head. Yeah. With some 3D action.
His eye pops out.
On wires.
On wires.
So you can clearly see.
It's like a spring, like... Oi, 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 oi.
It's like a busted cuckoo clock.
I'm pretty sure it does go... Doi, oi. In my mind, it does anyway.
Inside, Chris gets dripped on. So she heads upstairs and she finds bloody clothes and the shower's
Jason's
still running.
Jason's been doing the washing. She's interrupted Jason's laundry. Yeah.
All these damn stones!
I mean, yeah, I may have killed them, but these clothes can go to good use.
They can go to the Goodwill afterwards. So she heads out once again calling for Rick. And as she's walking along, one of the bodies of one of the bikers drops down from the trees. So she runs back inside.
Like the first movie.
Kind of like in the first movie.
Because it also doesn't seem to be hanging from anywhere at all.
It just drops out of nowhere.
Drops out of the sky.
So she starts barricading herself inside. Kind of like in the first film.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, a body is thrown through the window. Kind of like in the first film.
I do love this bit as well, because this is another example of Jason just really thinking about other people, because she's like, Rick, where are you? Save me! So he chucks Rick through the window.
Yes, Rick's corpse through the window. But this makes more sense, because Jason's pretty hench in this one, whereas in the first film, it's
his mum.
Pamela throwing his body.
Then runs all the way to the length of the woods to drive back in the car. Anyway, we've done that.
Yeah, it makes more sense. It's a tribute to my mother.
Yeah. I'm carrying on her good work.
Yeah.
Throwing corpses to do that,
through windows. And then Jason comes in into the fucking house.
Yep.
And Chris drops a bookcase on his head.
Yeah, I know, which stops Jason for a moment because he's like, oh, I haven't got time to read all these.
Yeah. Moby Dick is overrated. It's a boring one. Anyway, then she runs off and hides.
Yeah, in the dumbest place. She literally runs through the house. She does this, that she goes, oh, this will trick him. So she closes one of the bedroom doors. Like, he'll probably think I'm in there, which will stop him for all of 2 seconds. And then she hides in a closet at the end of the corridor.
Yeah.
The obvious place. So I'm going to hide in this closet here. And then because when he finds me, I definitely won't have anywhere to run.
At this stage, it is like, we've seen all this.
Yeah, this is, there's nothing.
All I was really thinking is, how are they going to end it?
Yeah.
Because we know now, we know for the next 15 minutes, Chris is going to run around, find bodies, fight Jason.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
She finds Debbie in the closet.
Yeah. At one point, she manages to stab Jason in the leg. And she smashes some wood over his head. She actually decks him.
Yeah. This is this is a case of, like, he managed to, he cuts down the door, he puts his thing through, she pulls the knife out of Debbie,
yeah,
which I thought was a machete, but apparently it's much smaller.
It was a machete.
Yeah, but he stabs Debbie with a machete, definitely, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when she pulls it out, it looks long. But anyway, by the time she stabs him in the leg, it's only about that big, because he pulls it out and knife throws it.
Like, in 3D.
In 3D, and it goes, doing, like, into the door jamb that's sort of next to her, and it's about this big. Mm. So I don't know how it shrunk in the wash.
It's the blood. It rusted it.
Yeah.
Roded it. Eventually, she gets to the van, which starts no problem, despite the fact that the bike has siphoned all the fuel out of it earlier.
Yeah.
Jason has somehow got ahead of her.
So, well, because he can teleport.
Yeah. She's driving off in the van, but Jason's got ahead of her, and he stood in the road. But he jumps out of the way when he realizes that she isn't going to stop.
He's pretty fucking lithe, Jason is. He dives out, deftly dives out of the way.
Yeah. He's like, whoosh. He's just stood there like, aha!
Oh.
Whoa. Are you? She's not stopping! She's not stopping! Jesus, you crazy bitch! So he has to jump out of the way.
But where'd you get your license from? Out of a cornflakes packet?
The van does eventually decide to run out of fuel.
Yeah,
continuity, so huzzah!
The writers are like, didn't they siphon the fuel? Oh, yeah. And then it breaks down.
And it stops on a bridge.
Yeah.
And then the bridge that the van has stopped on just starts collapsing.
Because, you know, we needed some peril.
Yes. And then Jason appears at the window and he starts choking her.
Yeah.
But she has the genius idea of winding the window up.
Which takes 25 minutes.
And yeah,
Jason at no point thinks to bring his hands back out. Like, yeah, he doesn't see this happening for ages.
Or, like, and he's open, like, the door.
Oh no! Now my hands are stuck.
Oh, touche! Yeah, he doesn't think, like, just open the door.
Yeah.
So she escapes. And then Jason, in his frustration, headbutts the window like, fuck! And smashes it. So anyway, Chris runs off to where else? The barn!
Yep.
Because this is, every character now at some point has ended up in this fucking barn.
In the fucking kill barn. And yeah, Jason can't believe his luck. Yeah. He's like, fucking hell, I was just sleeping there at first. And now it's just, I can kill
people. He somehow lured them all in.
Yeah.
I was baking cookies out the back. It was the smell that lured them in. Jason gets back to the barn and he starts looking for Chris, who's hiding up in the rafters.
Yeah.
And then she drops down onto Jason, yep, for some fucking reason.
Well, she just...
she could have just stayed there.
She could have just... But, like, they try and play it out like she's losing her grip. But the only way she's going to lose her grip is, like, if she fucking moves. But, yeah, she fucking jumps on his head.
So she goes to a different part of the barn now and climbs up into the rafters again. It's just so boring at this point.
She thinks she's going to stop him with one bale of hay.
Yes.
Like, she runs up,
she puts one bale of hay on the trapdoor.
And Jason's like,
yeah. And then she hits Jason with a shovel.
Yep.
Knocks,
like, comedy.
Out.
Clang.
Yeah. He goes, "Doy!" He collapses on the floor. And then she puts a rope around his neck from the pulley system,
yeah,
and pushes him off the side and hangs him.
Yeah, and he, like, even falls down. We hear the neck slapping.
Yep. And he's so dead.
Yeah, dead.
Yes. But,
and then she takes 5 fucking hours to climb down, and we spend every minute with her. She climbs down and everything else.
They really gets to the dragging fucking, it out at this
gets
point.
Gets to the front doors, and she's like, oh, can't even open that. So she's batting the fucking the thing up. You're like, oh my God. And you're like, she's going to open it up, and he's not going to be there. Yeah. And she opens it up, and he is there.
He is there, but he ain't dead.
No.
And
he lifts himself up.
Yes.
And this is, like, at no point at all has Chrissy gone, oh, this might be the same guy, like, from when I was attacked.
Yeah.
At all. Because then Jason lifts up the mask and she goes, it's you. What the fuck? Chrissy's an idiot.
Who'd you think it was?
Like, And Jason's got this weird grin on his face as well. He looks like Sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah, he does. He's like,
hey, you guys.
I recognize you kind of face.
Yeah, and he's like grinning at her and she's like, it's you. What the, how did you not figure that out before, you fucking idiot?
And then, so he's unhung himself.
Yeah.
Got himself
pulled himself down.
Yeah, and then Ali, the biker from earlier, suddenly appears. He's not dead.
He's been unconscious. He barely looks like he's...
No.
He's like, he goes, get off her, you psychopath. And Jason cuts his hand off.
Yeah, he attempts to attack Jason, but instantly gets his hand cut off. And then he's macheted to death.
Yeah, and Jason milks that as well. He's like,
there for ages.
Like, keep cutting away to Chrissy, and Chrissy's like, oh, and Jason's still there. Back to
it's
Chrissy.
So badly written, though. It's like this guy that he died, Barbie didn't really die, but instantly he's dead again.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no reason. All it was supposed to do was give Chrissy a moment to get away, which he doesn't do.
And this is when Chris sneaks up on Jason whilst he's macheteing Ali, and she puts an axe through his head, and Jason dies again.
Yes.
But that's it now.
Yeah.
So she's killed Jason. And then Chris heads to the lake and, as is tradition after surviving an encounter with Jason, climbs into a boat and heads out onto the water to sleep it off.
For no fucking reason.
Just like in the first film.
Doesn't make any sense. Like, even more so in this film. Like, it's just like she's like, oh, I don't know, look, a canoe. She's probably getting that. Just leave, you dickhead.
Just walk away.
But no, she gets in the canoe and she just like... But and then, I don't know, hours later she wakes up.
The next day, it was daylight.
Yeah.
She wakes up and she sees from the water, looking back to the shore, that Jason is still alive and he's in the house.
Oh, he's like at the window. He doesn't know how to use a window. So he's like...
It's like I can... It's like there's something in the way. Yeah. I can see, but I can't get through.
So frustrated.
He has got an axe wound in his head.
Yeah, the big old thing.
It really hurts.
He comes out and he fucking kicks the door off. Like, the door fucking flies off.
Smiling the whole time.
Yeah, it's like a big old grin on his face. He's having a fucking time of his life. Like, he's loving every second of this.
But it's all just a vision.
Yeah,
it's not real.
Yeah, she looks away and looks back and there's nothing there. The door's still there.
Yeah, it's all fine.
Everything. So she's like, oh, and she sort of settles back into the boat again to drift around for the rest of the day, I guess.
And then all of a sudden, Pamela Voorhees' corpse jumps out of the water and pulls her under. With her head reattached somehow.
Yeah, this is the writers of God. Do you know, it'd be really cool. Remember when Jason jumped out of the water at the end of the first one?
Yeah.
Why don't we make it the same, but it's his mum?
Yeah.
What, the mum who was decapitated in the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
But that's not going to make any sense. But it's 3D.
But this shot's not even in 3D.
Well, it looks like there's like a worm or something that's supposed to be... I don't fucking know. But it's awful. It's terrible. And then we get... None of this ending makes sense. This is such a mess.
But it turns out that wasn't real either.
No, that wasn't real either.
And we then cut to the police back on the land.
Yeah.
Taking Chris away, who's now a screaming loon.
Yeah, she's not in the boat either. She's been in the cabin.
The whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
And she's like... hysterical.
Yeah. So she's taken away in a police car, screaming off to the asylum.
Yep.
And just before the film ends, the camera pans over to Jason's corpse, which is still in the barn.
Yep.
The police obviously haven't got to that part.
There's no police presence around him whatsoever.
There's no like police.
There's police all over the place, apart from the
barn,
bad
the kill
barn. Killer's body.
Yeah. They haven't taped the. There's no like forensics.
No,
or anything.
Nothing. He's just lying there with an axe still in his head.
Yeah. And then we get a shot of the lake. The end.
Yeah. And there's like a little bubble. I don't know if that's deliberate or something that just happened.
I don't know.
Like, and you're like, and nothing happens. But yeah, it's like, how? So all of that ending didn't happen. After the axe in the head bit, nothing. None of that happened.
I guess she was taken away by the police.
Well, yeah, the police bit.
But no, the getting in the boat and shit, no, that didn't happen.
None of that happened.
But that's the same as the first one.
Yeah.
Because so in the first one, she ends up in hospital and it's like, the boy's still alive.
Yeah, this time they're like, didn't she say something about a woman in a lake? And they're like, she's fucking mental, mate. Just ignore her.
Yeah. what did you think?
This is the worst one so far. I think this is worse than Takes Manhattan.
I quite like Takes Manhattan.
Well, no, I do. I enjoy Takes Manhattan, but there's a lot.
This is so badly written.
It's awful.
Like, the third act is beat for beat the same as the first film.
It's literally, it was like I said earlier, it's a case of what can we do to make this 3D? Fuck the plot.
Yeah.
We don't really need a plot. Jason just kills people.
Yeah.
Like, and we'll just figure out ways to wave shit at the fucking camera.
Yeah, this was obviously the first appearance of the iconic hockey mask.
Yep.
The New Jersey ice hockey mask guy.
Yeah. That's the only point that it adds anything to the Jason legacy.
Like, yeah, this is where he got hold of the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's really weak. It is just, you know, a ripoff of the first two.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same plot, essentially, as the first one. Jason goes around, kills people. But with the same pacing of the same plot as the second one, with the same pacing of the first one.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, it's so badly written. It's just,
it was
fucking lazy.
Gimmick over plot, yeah.
Yeah, it's
gimmick
really over plot, lazy. Entirely.
To the point where, yeah, a couple of bits like did make me laugh that they were so fucking bad. But other than that, I mean, it was, yeah, it's nothing. It's a nothing film.
No. Crap. Right, some trivia for this movie. Budget of this, $2.3 million. It grossed $36 million. Why they kept making them?
Yeah, well, everyone was drawn in by the first two. I'm surprised this didn't kill the franchise.
to be honest. The house, the barn, and the lake were all purpose-built for production of this movie.
But that's where the money went.
Yeah. But the lake wasn't properly sealed, and it drained into the soil within the first week.
Brilliant. That's why you don't really see much of the lake then. There's that, like, even that bit where she's on the
You don't really, do you?
When she's like on the boat at the end, it's basically a puddle.
Yeah. The original plot was to revolve around Ginny from the previous film, who had been sentenced to a mental asylum,
right?
And Jason had tracked her down and would go around killing the staff and the patients at the hospital.
So Halloween 2.
Yeah. But Amy still didn't want to do it. But right. It's still a more original plot than what we got.
Yeah, hell yeah. That sounds like a much better film, even though it's a complete ripoff of Halloween 2. It sounds like a much better film. Yeah.
Larry Zerner, who played Shelley, was found on a street corner. He was asked if he wanted to be in the movie after producers spotted him handing out flyers for a different horror movie.
Right.
And they literally went, do you want to be in a horror movie? That's so Hollywood, baby.
He wasn't handing out flyers for a movie he was in, just random.
I don't think so, no.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Did he go? I never bothered looking him up. Did he do anything?
I mean, yeah, he lived.
he existed.
He died immediately after. hang on. Well, this is the most. He was in Fame in the same year.
Really?
Yep. He was in a horror movie in 2017 called Death House, which I think I've seen.
All right.
Carried on acting.
He did do some things then.
Yeah, he was in a total of 8 movies. 9 movies in his entire career, and Friday the 13th, the video game.
Oh, I played that.
So, have I? Yeah, I think I have as well, yeah.
It's not a great game. Like, it's fun for a little bit, but then it's not much to it.
Yeah, yeah. Production informed Steve Dasiewicz, who played Jason in the original film. Right. Sorry, the second film.
Yeah.
That if he wanted to reprise his role as Jason, he'd have to pay for his own airfare to California.
From where?
Connecticut, I believe.
All right, okay. But
not California.
He was quite a small man as well for Jason.
It sounds like they just didn't really want him.
No, yeah. It sounds like he phoned them. It's like, oh, here, you're doing another film, so am I going to be in it? And they're like, well, if you want to make your own way here.
Yeah. What else we got? They made this in 3D because they needed a gimmick to distract audience members from their storytelling formula, which everyone at this point had figured out.
Like, so they knew the plot was shit.
Yeah. Never mind. Maybe try writing something better.
Well, they had an idea. In the sense, the whole mental hospital thing.
Yeah.
Just do it. Oh, so I suppose.
They could have recast, yeah. Yeah. But no, they just felt, well, listen, we don't really have a story, so we need a gimmick.
That's very 80s slasher movies.
In the original script, Jason rapes Chris in the flashback scene. This was changed for pretty obvious reasons.
Fucking hell. Yeah, that would have changed. He's already fucking killed an unborn baby. He's going to be killing unborn babies. He's going to be raping.
But Jason doesn't have sex or like
Yeah,
sex.
I know. Yeah, he hates it. Like, that's one of his main... He's like the ultimate cock block.
Yeah, they got rid of that for obvious fucking reasons.
Jesus.
And final bit of trivia. The house that was built for the film stood there until 2005.
All right.
Until a hardcore Friday the 13th fan, went there and he started a fire in the fireplace. The fireplace wasn't real and the whole thing burned to the ground.
Fucking idiot.
That was some trivia and some comments from you people.
I didn't get any.
Didn't get any?
Not one single. And I thought I'd get some for this, but
we've had lots of the others. I got three.
Yeah, this is
two from the same person.
Not a popular Friday the 13th.
Maybe it's because it's not very fucking good. My Little Slice of Hell says, shit, I hope you guys rip it apart like part two. And then he goes on to say, this makes part two look like an Oscar winner.
He was a big fan of part two as well. He did say he forgives us because he finds us funny, but we did rip part two apart.
But then Stark2490 says, one of my fave Friday films. Fun. Characters are enjoyable. Chrissy is my favorite final girl too.
No. No.
I find the characters really like non.
There's nothing to them.
No.
Like they're the most paper thin character. This whole film it feels like it was written like somebody woke up and they was like, oh, we're making a film today. Oh, I haven't written anything.
Oh, shit. Where's that script for the last one?
It was written on the bus on the way.
Yeah, no, it's not not for me. Not at all.
No, this is by far. I mean, the Friday the 13th franchise isn't great anyway,
no.
But this is by far the bottom of the barrel for this.
Of the ones we've done so far.
Oh, it's by far the worst.
Yeah. We've still got 4, 5, 6, 7, and I guess 9.
We've done 8
to do.
We?
We've done.
Yeah, and Freddy versus Jason.
And that as well. We've done. We did 8. No, we did Jason X.
We did, yeah.
A while ago. It's not even here on YouTube. It's still somewhere, though, on like Spotify. Yeah,
that's audio only, I think, isn't it?
Jason X. On Spotify and all that. The Jason X. Then we did Jason Takes Manhattan. Then we did part one. Then part two. And now we've done part three. Doing it in a funny order, but from now on, it will be in chronological
in
order. Yeah. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Friday the 13th, part trois.
It was.
It blew.
Yeah. It sucks balls.
But Jason will return. I ain't done yet.
Is it Jason? The next one is part four, the final chapter.
Final chapter, my ass! Yeah, Jason shall return, of course. As shall we, and hopefully shall you. The fuck you know, people listening to this can't see that. Because not everyone watches.
That's just for the viewers.
Just assume it's an audio medium. And what are you doing? You're like fucking Michael Scott when he's doing the thing with the top hat. Stop it. Right, thank you very much. And
thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
It's been emotional.
And we will be back.
After these messages.
From our sponsors. That don't exist. Did I mention to share this? Eh? See you later.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. No, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.